Warning. The system has become unstable.
This whole system is deeply flawed, and that's why I talk a lot about free markets and property rights, Austrian economics, and getting rid of the Fed. All these things are now up for grabs. A lot of people, especially the young people, are looking at this. So for this reason, I'm a bit encouraged by what might come out of this. But I think we're going to go through the ringer. I think it's going to get much, much worse, and it's bad enough already. But there's no way that we can step back. The one thing I'm convinced of after having spent so much time in Washington is that this will not be a gradual recovery from this disaster that we have. We're not going to elect enough people and enough courage to vote the right way, and there's too much demagoguing and too much misunderstanding that people would revolt. But the collapse will come, it's going to hit the dollar, and then we're going to have our opportunity. So the more people who are protected intellectually as well as financially, the better off we'll be in rebuilding what we'll have, what we'll need to do in the near future.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
In the days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition. A global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits to endure the powers of darkness, which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my conversation with James Wesley Rawls. Enjoy the show. That spills over to just about everything with what you just pointed out about gardening and the learning curve and the expense of a mistake. Like you said, you know, it's cheap now and it's very expensive later. If I forget to buy a cable for my solar generator, if I ruin a batch of canned pork, it's not the end of the world right now. But after it hits the fan, that's going to be very, very expensive, right?
Right. And as you mentioned, that missing cable, for example, unless you work with the equipment that you've stored, you really are not a master of it. I've often been quoted as saying that owning a gun doesn't make anyone a shooter any more than owning a surfboard makes someone a surfer.
Yeah, right.
Every piece of equipment that you own has its own learning curve, and you really won't know the ins and outs of that piece of equipment unless you use it regularly. You won't know what accessory or part you might be missing unless you get it out of the box and use it. And that applies to everything from your pressure canner and your dehydrator to your Glock. It the same principle applies. And whether it's communications equipment, first aid equipment, whatever, you need to get it out and practice with it, because a lot of these skills are perishable, and a lot of these skills are not something that you want. You're already going to have enough stress as it is. Don't add more stress to your situation by trying to master a new complicated skill after everything hits the fan.
And your new book, Land of Promise, comes out December 1st, but it's already hit number 4 on Amazon's Christian futuristic fiction category. Readers are obviously excited.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I'm very excited about the book. It's definitely a departure for me. It's not tied into the Patriots economic collapse storyline at all. It is set 35 years in the future after the advent of a global Islamic caliphate. And I really felt strongly convicted to write this series of novels. The first one is called Land of Promise. Again, it comes out December 1st. It's about the establishment of a Christian libertarian nation of refuge in East Africa called the Alemi Republic. And I really felt the need to encourage the actual physical formation of a country like that. I can't say where it'll be, or exactly how the government will be formed, or or even if it will be a libertarian country, but there definitely needs to be a nation of refuge somewhere. And if nothing else, there needs to at least be a virtual nation state that can issue passports, because right now a lot of the Christian refugees simply cannot leave their countries because they lack a passport.
And I guess you think that America's not much of a refuge for Christians anymore. Does that have to do with Kim Davis?
If you look at the recent news, it's not very well publicized, but in California there's a group of Syrian Christian refugees who are about ready to be deported back to Syria. It's as if there's an enormous double standard. There's two sets of rules. If you are a Middle Eastern Muslim, your chances of being accepted and granted asylum and have the red carpet rolled out for you are much, much greater than if you're a Christian. They basically have two different sets of rules. And I think that whole situation is going to become much more severe as time goes on. Because as the global Islamic caliphate gradually crystallizes, the Western nations are going to begin to kowtow to the caliphate. They'll make diplomatic gestures. They will sign treaties with them. They will perform rendition or extradition for people for violation of just even the most absurd laws in these Islamic countries. They'll be turning over even their own citizens to the caliphate-controlled countries simply because the caliphate is going to control the vast majority of the world's oil. And everyone realizes that oil makes the world go around. It doesn't just lubricate the world, it runs the world. And whoever holds the oil makes the rules. And if it's not, if they can't form a nation of refuge somewhere, there simply won't be a nation available that will be a true safe haven for Christian refugees, because all the other nations of the earth, including the Western European nations, the U.S. and Canada, are going to be beholden to the caliphate, and they simply won't open their doors to Christian refugees. It's quite clear that that's already begun, and it's going to get worse.
And then can you give us a timeline of what you think the threat of Islam is to America and how you see that progressing from where we are right now?
Well, I think it's a fairly long-term threat because a lot of it depends upon a demographic shift. And demographic shifts don't take place overnight. Right now, the U.S. is admitting about 1.7 million new citizens, or at least residents, in the country each year, which is a huge number. That number is about as much as all of the rest of the world's quotas for new immigrants combined, just the United States. And the U.S., since the Obama administration began, the first Obama administration began 6 years ago, has radically increased their quotas. They claim there are no quotas, but let's face it, there are. Their quotas for Islamic refugees. Mixed in with the legitimate refugees, I believe, are a number of Islamic terrorist sleepers, and they're just waiting for activation at a later date. So there isn't so much of an immediate threat as there is a long-term demographic shift threat, more of a sea change threat. And if you look at Western Europe, that's kind of where we're going to be in about 10 years. And then, say, 20 years from now, I think the Western European nations are essentially going to be co-opted into being under Sharia law. And then we'll be about still another 10 years behind them. So say in about 30 years or 40 years, we could see some states like Michigan, where there's a large Islamic population, actually adopt Sharia law. And in the even longer term, say 50 years from now, we could very well see the advent of a global Islamic caliphate that would have enough political, economic, and military power to be able to call the shots and basically have all the other nations of the world bow to them.
My wife is from Paris, and she left there to come here because she thought she'd get away from socialism, which that didn't really work out so much. But there are sections of Paris that you cannot drive through because when they have the call to prayer, the Muslims actually...
Yeah, when they
actually
have Adhan, they just all roll out their carpets right in the street.
Yeah, and they block
traffic.
Yeah,
that's one of the things that I describe in my novel Land of Promise. I describe that starting to happen in places like Norway, for example. And that really, I believe, will be happening, not necessarily in the immediate future, but certainly within 10 or 15 years. So we need to be vigilant. We certainly need a change of administration that would change our immigration policies, and we need to certainly more thoroughly vet the immigrants that do come in to try to keep the terrorists out. I would actually prefer to see Islamic immigration essentially be halted with very few exceptions.
And in the Netherlands, I think there's sections of the towns that the police cannot go in.
Oh, but they have the Sharia cops there to patrol the streets, so
right.
They don't have anything to worry about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely a threat out there. And I don't want to put exact time frames on things, but you can certainly see the sea change ahead. And it's time for people to wake up and plan accordingly. Every American family should plan ahead to have at least passports for every member of the family, and preferably second passports that are issued by a neutral country. Because the time may very well come when certain segments of our society may be forced to flee. And here I'm talking about mainly Jews and Christians.
And do you think that you think the jailing of Kim Davis for not issuing marriage license to sodomites, do you think that is the apex of persecution of Christians in America, or do you think it's going to get worse?
No, that's just a precursor. I think things are going to get a lot worse. Political correctness will go into overdrive. I think in the near future we'll probably have a situation like in Canada where they're actually putting people on trial for hate crimes and robbing people of their livelihood, where we'll also see multi-million-dollar lawsuits filed against people for discrimination simply for standing up for our religious freedom. One of the main points that I make in my novel Land of Promise is that the phrase freedom of association also implies freedom of disassociation. But if anyone tries to exercise that in this country in the very near future, they're going to end up losing basically everything they have. That's another good reason for families to incorporate under an LLC and put the majority of their assets under the control of that family trust. It's not, I know that the courts are getting better at busting trusts and attaching assets, but it's better than no protection. And unfortunately, right now, if I was a photographer or if I was running a bakery, I would be seriously considering shutting down my business right now or selling it simply because eventually someone is going to get around to setting you up and suing you for every penny you're worth.
It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
And pastors that speak out against homosexual marriages, are they going to be allowed to continue to have churches, or are we going to get shut down to where we only have like sort of these Joel Osteen type churches?
Well, I think there'll be essentially a great divide that forms. The mainstream churches are going to roll over and play dead, and the remnant churches are going to continue to preach the truth, but they're going to end up having to give up their 501c3 status, and they may actually even have to operate underground. The gospel will still get out there, but I think we're going to see a huge divide between the apostate churches and the remnant churches.
And the underground churches really thrived in some countries like China and other places. Sometimes it's persecution that sort of separates the wheat from the chaff and gets people to seriously consider what they believe and how committed they are to it, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed. And the only troubling thing is that the Bible teaches us that the remnant will be small. And at the end of the church age, I think we're going to see a great apostasy, and we're going to see the majority of the mainstream churches not only have female pastors, but homosexual pastors, and they'll be forced to perform homosexual unions. I don't want to call them marriages or weddings. They really aren't. They'll be forced to perform those ceremonies. And unfortunately, one of the main reasons is a lot of people are convinced that they don't go to a Church of Christ. They go to a Church of the Holy Tax Deduction, and they don't want to give up their 501c3 status for these churches, because then they won't be able to write it off their taxes. People are incredibly selfish and foolish. And unfortunately, the majority of American Christians are going to stay in these mainstream, watered-down, sloppy agape type churches that go along with the entire statist agenda, the socialist agenda, and the sodomite agenda.
And the guy that was working at the recruitment office that was attacked, and he returned fire. He's being charged now for having an illegal weapon on a military installation. There was the Marine that was court-martialed because she wouldn't take her Bible verse of no weapon formed against me shall prosper. She wouldn't take that off her desk. Our military have lost their First and Second Amendment rights. What are they fighting for? I mean, weren't they supposed to be fighting for freedom? And they don't have any freedoms themselves.
No, they don't. And unfortunately, we have a situation where we have American soldiers deployed to Afghanistan who are being forced into a don't ask, don't tell situation when they see teenage and pre-teenage boys being raped by the local militia commanders. They literally can't say a word about it now. And, of course, morally, they don't have a leg to stand on because our military now allows homosexual unions and open homosexual membership. So we're definitely on the slippery slope. And for any of your listeners who are young people who are thinking about a career in the military, you know, 20 years ago, I was recommending, yeah, go to ROTC Basic Camp and get that training. And I was all for people getting military training and joining the military. Now people have to seriously consider whether or not they are going to consider themselves underground chaplains and be there primarily to share the gospel in underground churches within the military, or whether they should be in the military at all. Because right now, the people in the chaplain corps are being muzzled, and the ability to speak out on moral issues is definitely ending. So unless you look at it as a form of ministry where you can be salt and light, I would recommend that young people no longer join the military and they get equivalent training in the civilian world.
And then there's also, as being a godly nation, there was a time that you would think that our soldiers had a type of covering over them to help protect them. I know that you always often pray Psalms 91 over folks. And doesn't that covering and that protection come with obedience and being in covenant relationship with God? And
that's
and
right.
when we lose that covenant relationship, don't we lose that protection?
Exactly. The covenant works both ways, and we cannot expect his blessings or his protection if we are no longer in covenant with God. And if, as an organization, our own military has turned its back on God, we cannot expect God's covenantal blessings. There's an interesting anecdotal story that dates back to World War I. You mentioned Psalm 91. There was a division in the U.S. Army called the 91st Division. And they had a tradition, ever since the division was mustered in, of reciting the 91st Psalm in formation every morning on parade. And coincidentally, the 91st Division had the lowest casualty rate of any line division fielded by the United States in France during World War I.
And, wow.
But they were right on the front lines. Yes, there's definitely a correlation. And again, I think people need to seriously think twice, if they're already in the military, whether or not they want to re-up. And for young people who are considering joining the military, whether they should even raise their right hand and swear that oath. Oh, I'm sorry. It's oath or affirmation now. I forgot.
Wow. And to go back to what we were talking about earlier about Islam, there were some very simple measures that could have been put in place to control the spread of Islam in America. Of course, they weren't enacted. Do you think that's a matter of neglect, or do you think that's something that door was intentionally left open?
I don't know. It's hard to say. But, the social planners of this country definitely wanted to see Islam taught in the schools, and they definitely wanted to try to demonize Christianity at the same time that they were glorifying Islam. It's abundantly clear that that's gone on for at least 20 years, and now we're kind of reaping the harvest of that in this country. It's a very sad situation. All I can say is that Islam is definitely on the march. Christendom is definitely on the decline. And we need to turn the tide. We need to get back to our fundamentals in this nation. We need to recognize that we truly are a Christian nation. And we need to stop playing political games and put righteous, conservative Christian statesmen in office rather than politicians.
And we have to start doing that at the local and state level, right? Because, I mean, we don't
have
a whole lot
starts.
Of choice sometimes by the time it gets to president.
Right. And once you get up to the U.S. Congress and the presidential level, by the time people get to that level, they've already been co-opted, most of them. I'm sorry. And the party politics are the rule there. If you look at the voting records of most American congressmen, they vote along party lines more than 90% of the time. So the parties really are calling the shots. And when you have both parties that are essentially socialist parties, you just have one that's in more of a hurry than the other, you have a very dangerous situation.
And before we let you go, we always get new listeners that are coming in and they're new to prepping and they don't know where to start. So can you just give them a real quick, you know, where do you start?
Sure.
What do you do first? Because it's so overwhelming when you first wake up.
Well, I kind of make it easier for people at my site. Again, it's survivalblog.com. It's a free site. In the left-hand bar, you'll see a link that's marked Getting Started, and you'll see, and that has a brief description of how people should get started in prepping. And you'll see another list, another link that's titled List of Lists. And if you click on that, that will bring up an Excel spreadsheet with my list of items that I recommend that people obtain and how they should prioritize their purchasing for family preparedness. Again, that's List of Lists. And the other link is Getting Started.
And, of course, we're all anxiously awaiting Land of Promise, the Counter-Caliphate Chronicles. Where it's going to be the best place to find that on December 1st?
Well, it's primarily going to be made available as a Amazon Kindle ebook. And I would recommend that anyone who has a Kindle reader or who has Kindle installed on their laptop buy it that way. The cover price will be just $2.99, so it's very affordable. There will also be a print-on-demand, or what they call a pod edition. We haven't even identified the price on that yet, but that will also be coming out December 1st, and there will also be an audio book, and that should be available December 1st or slightly later. But Amazon will be the main source, and it is already orderable, although I would like to request that people wait and order right on December 1st. The pre-order price will be held through that day. I'd like to see as many orders come in as possible right on December 1st to try to give it a big boost in sales, to try to put it in Amazon's top 10, at least on Kindle, if not overall, and to put the book well into the New York Times bestseller list. The more publicity we get, the more people will read the book, and this book is really a message piece. People really need to wake up and see what's going on in the world, and I hope that this book will actually spur the formation of a physical country. We really need one to be formed to act as a nation of refuge.
Jim.
And please pray for America and for our nation's elected representatives, because we are living in an age of deception and betrayal, folks. We really need to pray hard.
Jim, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Mark.
All long-term storage food is not created equal. Folks who have been prepping for a while will tell you. There's a long-term storage food that you can eat if you have to, and long-term storage food that you love to eat. The apocalypse will be tough enough. Buy high-quality foods that you'll love to eat from Valley Food Storage at valleyfoodstorage.com.
Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, campingsurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PrepperRecon for 5% off your entire order at campingsurvival.com.